You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
Justin, I saw Paranormal Activity 4 over the weekend.
How was that?
It's not good.
No.
Really?
Not good. Was number one in the box office, though.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I think, but it fell over Paranormal Activity 3. Paranormal Activity 3 opened to something like 50 million. This one opened to something like 30 million. So you might think, oh, it's over for the Paranormal Activity franchise. Until you remember that it was made for $5 million.
Yes.
The entire movie was made for $5 million.
Like, they make their money back, like, in 5 minutes after the show.
That's incredible.
On Thursday. I know.
And why was it bad, if you had to surmise the
So this is, have you watched the other movies?
I've only seen the first one.
Okay, well, this is the
I've
first one.
I've only seen the first two.
This is the first one to go, to continue the story after the first one, because 2 and 3 went back in time.
Got it.
And I don't think it is satisfying. I don't think it takes the story anywhere new or interesting. It's just kind of like, they kind of do the same sort of spooks. It's like, oh, I heard a bump downstairs. And then where it ends up at the end, you're like, what? Why did they do this? Why did they introduce this character? Why did this person do that? Oh, well, it's over now. Guess I'll see you guys next year, Paranormal Activity 5.
Yeah, it was
And
not
you will.
Good.
You'll see them next year. You'll be there.
Well, you were just talking about the lead girl, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that I didn't like that movie very much. I didn't think it was very scary. But I liked the main... So it starts teenagers this time, and the two, like, main characters are these two teenage... It's a family, but mainly it follows the daughter and her boyfriend. And I thought they were both, like, pretty cool. Like, they were both good actors, and... you know, the boyfriend's, like, kind of a little bit annoying, but he's also, like, kind of charming, and you like him.
Yeah.
And they're both, cool.
Yeah, but she's only 15.
She's only 15, yeah, so nobody get any...
Your inclination might be to think she's really cute, but...
don't think she's too cute.
Be careful.
Yeah.
But she was good, like you said.
We can think she's politely cute. That's
politely cute? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. That doesn't hold up in court.
I don't know why. Your Honor, I just thought she was politely cute.
That doesn't mean that we
I
have to be
physical. I just politely
asked
her back to my house.
When does politely cute equate to, like, getting physical?
Okay.
I don't know.
None. That was a trick question. Yeah, it was a trick question.
I love that you call sex getting physical.
Yeah.
That's great. You're like,
no one has
said
that since,
factory.
Like, yeah, 1980s.
Let's get physical.
But I hope she can go on to do other things, because, like, you know, those movies are weird. They're supposed to be found footage, and they're not supposed to be actors, right? So I hope that doesn't hold her back from actually going on to do other stuff. None of the actors from, you know, the other movies have gone on. I've seen them elsewhere.
Do you think people are like, we really need a good, cute, blonde girl for this movie? If only that Paranormal Activity chick was an actress instead of
a real person.
So you're saying, like, Paranormal Activity movies, like, if you're in one, your career dies forever? Like, you never
right?
act again?
Right? I mean,
it's
they're,
haunted.
They're not credited
like Macbeth.
As actors.
Yeah, your IMDb page is haunted.
The Macbeth of movies and film.
Wow.
Getting literary.
Yep.
I mean, the first one was presented as this. You know, the police found this footage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they don't even bother doing that anymore.
No, I don't. Now it actually says directed by, story by, and all that stuff.
So is it still about how somebody made a deal with a demon?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because that's sort of ridiculous.
And it's all about Kinect now too.
Really? Yeah,
so Kinect is like the star of the show.
It's true. There's a Kinect in their living room, and then you can see when they turn the lights off, the infrared dots. They can see them in the camera when they turn the infrared
camera. Apparently, that's a real thing with Kinect.
Yeah, if you have an infrared camera, you can see all the Kinect dots. That's a real thing. And then you can see like in the background, there might be like a ghost, like in the dots,
a ghost
like following them
in the Kinect.
You can see the outline of the ghost. Yeah. Toby is the ghost name, the demon's name.
Wow,
that's the worst name.
I kind of like how it's like a normal name, and then I think that makes it more haunting.
So is this the most successful thing that Kinect has ever been involved with?
It could be.
Yeah, wow.
It could be.
We touched feet for a second.
We did. That was weird.
Foot five.
Anyway.
Our feet just got physical.
Welcome to GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. This is Brian Altano.
Hi.
This is Justin Davis.
Hey.
That's Ryan Clements. Over the weekend, the new BioShock Infinite trailer was released.
Yep. Uh-oh. People can see it on IGN.com.
You haven't watched it yet.
I didn't watch it yet.
Allow us just a few minutes here to discuss. We'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Justin likes it a lot.
Yeah.
I was a little underwhelmed. What did you think?
Why were you underwhelmed?
Well, that you answered my question with another question.
Oh, shit. I like it. I'm kind of waiting to see how much of it just sort of feels scripted and how much of it is just sort of like a little open worldy.
This guy knows what's up.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about this game recently. There are a lot of, I don't know if fears are the right word, but we're not really sure about this game. At this point, BioShock Infinite doesn't feel like a surefire hit to us.
Sure, yeah.
Because they missed E3, they missed Gamescom. It's coming out in
February.
4 months?
Yeah.
And none of us have played the game.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's not really a good sign.
There's also been a slew of people have left the team from start to finish.
Talent has been leaving.
Never a good sign, but it's not damning of the final game or anything, but it's just never a good sign.
Right.
They've been in like media blackout for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. So we've been thinking like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they missed that release date, but here they come with a new trailer, and then at the end it says very clearly, February 26th.
Good point. That trailer kind of puts a stake in the ground and says we are not delaying this again.
It'd be hard to push it back again.
Yeah. And there was a lot of speculation that maybe this was going to end up being, they were going to delay it to the fall and be a next gen title.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, sure.
And they can do whatever they want. They could still do that, but why put out a trailer that very in big bold letters has a new date?
Yeah.
If that's their plan, so.
But the reason I was underwhelmed maybe is that I don't feel like it showed a lot of new stuff. A lot of it was the same sort of game mechanics and ideas that we've seen before. There are a few new things, but maybe not enough for a game that's been on blackout for so long.
I thought
just like staring blankly.
I don't know what's going on. We saw the rails again that you're flying around on. We saw most of the same weapons. I think we maybe saw some new plasmid stuff.
Yeah, but come on, if they didn't have the rails, people would be like, where are the rails at?
That's true.
That's the game.
Where are the rails at?
Like, that's what the game is you shoot, then you have plasmids and guns. Like, I don't know what you expected.
I'm just saying.
More new stuff. Yeah.
I thought the trailer was great.
I give that trailer a
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's as good as a trailer could possibly be.
I loved it.
Wow.
I absolutely loved it. I loved it. No, I thought the music was great. I thought it made the gameplay look really interesting. It made it seem very, like, every single moment they showed in that trailer showed, like, a tremendous amount of care. Like, there's a little, like, it's 1 second long where they're on a beach. And there's, like, characters in bathing suits and, like, kids running. That all had to be, like, animated, and people had to create all that art and all the, like, every single moment was like that. There's a moment where one of the, I don't know what they're called, but the big, like, crow thing is, like, bursting through a wall. Mm-hmm. You see the wall all, like, breaking apart.
That's Toby
the bird.
But like, that
looks amazing.
We've seen it before, though.
So?
I'm just saying.
I love it. You're like, oh, man, they made art and they animated it. Like, that's their job.
No, but like
that's supposed to do.
But like a lot of games aren't like that. Like, they don't have, it's just obvious. Like, there's a moment where you're in a shop and like you can see how much everything costs on the board. And there's like items on the shelves. And like just that level of detail, like it's just clear that the amount of care and artistry and craftsmanship in that game is like above and beyond what almost.
I mean, the style and the art direction is phenomenal. It's probably the best I've seen in a long time.
The reason I said you, this guy, when I was pointing at you and said this guy knows what he's talking about, is my one fear from that trailer is that it did make the game seem very scripted.
Yes.
You can't get away with if there's something bursting in the wall, like chasing you mm-hmm. or things like that. Like those moments,
that wall's done forever. In that
yeah, game. Like you can't.
There's nobody gonna come along and fix that wall now. Like go on the rail and with his handyman tools. And
what if that's the how the game works?
It can't.
Fuck.
Could you imagine if there was just a small team of construction workers off to the side, and every time the
wall starts,
they get in. And they're like, you know, spackling. They're like, oh man, this is such a
stop
pain.
Bursting through the damn wall.
I imagine there are dozers like in Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
They just rebuild everything.
Fraggle Rock reference. Yeah. So I do worry about maybe the game being more scripted than, you know, BioShock was renowned for its ability to sort of come at things in the way that you wanted.
Yes. I mean, that's the cool thing about the combat. So, but now we have like this whole Skyrail system. We'll see. To me, it almost looked like when we first started seeing the game, you could just hop on and off those things at any given time, have huge, intense battles like in the air and stuff like that, and it just like could travel around the whole world like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's
but it seems like there might be like little pocketed environments where you can do that kind of stuff, and then they're just like, okay, go through the door, you're in the next area now. That's
kind of what I was thinking, is like, you know, if they do it right and do it well, it could be the best of both worlds, where like, let's say you go in some shop or go in somewhere, you go to the next area, and some really crazy action set piece happens that's all like very scripted. And then maybe after that, you're like in this space, and then it's, you know, free roaming to go do what you want to do till you go to the next part, and it sort of shuffles you along mm-hmm. this adventure.
There's a disclaimer at the end of the video that says this trailer was made entirely with in-game footage.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, because I think the game looks great, but it doesn't look so great that I'm like, what, when I read that? Like, I didn't know that disclaimer was like...
You throw up all of your keyboards.
I can't stop.
That was more of like a screw you to everybody that makes trailers that don't have any in-game footage.
You think that's irrational games? Is like,
they're like, look what we did. Why can't you do that? Because you're not us.
No, but I don't think, like, the game didn't look good enough that people are like... I don't like.
Not
I don't,
good enough.
I don't
10
believe
out of 10.
It.
No, it's a 10 out of 10 because of the reasons I explained. But I think
AC/DC animation art.
To say like this is made from all in-game footage, you need to have something that doesn't seem believable is in-game footage. Like what? That looks so good that I don't believe mm-hmm. it's in-game footage. Otherwise, it's like, well, yeah, obviously that was in-game footage. That's all.
See, I love those games, but it's kind of a gift and a curse that they have this really unique enemy design, but there's only like 4 or 5 of them. Mm. So it's like, man, look at this guy. He's like the handyman. He's so cool looking. And then you fight like 40 of them throughout the game, and by the end, like...
It's true.
You know?
Well, they've only revealed a certain amount.
It's true. And the ones they've shown so far have been really cool. Yeah. They've been really cool enemies so far.
Yeah. Which,
we'll see. It's like you say, they definitely put that flag in the ground.
Do you think it's going to get delayed?
Like we were just talking about, it would be very hard to delay it now.
Yeah.
I feel like they're probably going to ship it.
Yeah, if you would have asked me last week, I would have said I am 90% sure that game is being delayed again. But yeah.
Like, I'm just picturing you're playing the game, the final retail copy, and there's a rail that you're flying down, like, and then you just go off into the space, like it just ends. Mm-hmm. Your character drops down because they didn't finish the game.
Oh, that's the joke. I thought you were gonna say Pac-Man is like wah, wah,
no, wah, no, no, wah, no, wah, just wah. That the rail ends and he flies off into the clouds because there's
oops,
no city left.
No one tested the final level.
Well,
we couldn't finish it.
So consider this. The certification process for a game.
Yeah.
Manufacturing, that takes...
A month, probably.
Yeah, like, at least. So, like, it's coming out in February. Basically, that game is done now.
Yep.
They're bug testing.
Done.
Yep.
And none of us have played the game.
Mm-hmm. It's a big secret.
Yeah.
And they're even like, here's the final packaging, here is the pre-order bonuses, here's everything, here's the whole, like, deluxe set.
They got a board game coming out.
It's a board game that you can get a piece for in the final packaging. Yep. The creator bundle.
You get a piece
of one of the, you get the handyman character. He looks like one of those like muscle mans from the 80s.
Muscle man.
Oh man, I love muscle.
Yeah. I love muscle.
What do you stand for? Mini.
Oh, mini ultimates.
Yeah,
suckers.
Like, oh great. Now
can't let each other man.
Anyway, I'll figure it out and I'll
nope,
put
where'd that extra M come from?
For the man at the end, for muscle man.
Muscle man.
Okay. Good point.
It's the extra S in mans that you should be asking. I've said it 8 times now.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm betting it's gonna get delayed. That's me. I'm gonna say it right now.
BioShock. You're publicly saying
yes. BioShock Infinite will get delayed
here in front of.
Yep. It will not release in February of 2013.
Okay.
That's my guess.
All right. We'll see. I want to bring Clements into this discussion. We have an email here from our listener Marion Ortiz.
It's ready.
And the question is sort of goes along the same lines as what we were talking about with Bioshock Infinite and fears about how scripted it is. Marianne says, with this whole Mass Effect / Dragon Age trend of changes and decisions on the game story that we see nowadays, do you guys like it like that or prefer those classic moments in games when the game tells its own story, like when Aerith dies in Final Fantasy VII, spoilers.
Wait, what?
Or Blank getting shot in the head in the Blanking Blank game. You know.
I think that's the Walking Dead game. And his name is Zombie. No, I've actually been playing, I'm about halfway through episode 3 of The Walking Dead right now. And I'm going through the sort of similar motions where I'm like, I sort of wish this game would just give me a story. Because every time I screw something up, or I don't do something right, or I let someone live or die, or I make some decision, like, it weighs on me. And it sucks. But it's great,
you just,
too.
You just don't want to take responsibility for your actions.
No, I don't.
You're like, well, the game, that's the way the story happens.
Yeah. So there's one part where they're like, do you want to kill this guy? I'm like, yeah, kill him. And then I do. And then, like, the little girl's there. And she's like,
yeah.
And then you're like, I'm so sorry.
At the end of the game, like, only 5% of the people kill him. Like, I'm a monster.
Yeah, you're like, I'm a monster. And you want to be like, you want to look at her and you be like, the world's covered in the undead. There's nothing we can do. It's a dark place. I can't help you. But you can't, so it's just, you know,
that's
you have to go with
better
it.
With Kinect, though. You can yell at it.
Oh, you can scream, I'm sorry.
Yell at your apologies.
I'm sorry.
You can repent.
Well, because, like, the game does stuff, like, where you're, like, three episodes later, they're like, I'm going to remember that. Like, yeah. Why? Don't know. It was just, we were just talking like bros. Like, you don't have to remember that.
Clementine remembers that you let her down.
Yeah.
It's like, well. Yeah.
Some guy's like, oh, how'd you get here? And that guy walked. And he's like, oh, it's weird. A couple weeks ago, you told me you took a car. I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Whatever paternal instincts I have, Walking Dead totally takes advantage of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I will do anything. I'll do whatever it takes to protect Clementine.
I'll murder any of
you. I will kill everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that series is going, you're probably going to have to.
Yeah.
It's great, too, because some of the decisions in that game are literally in all caps. Like, you can be like, no, don't worry about it. And the other one's like, are you fucking kidding me? And I always choose that one. I'm like, don't touch her. Don't. I'll kill you.
It's 0 or 100, man.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. Like, I know we're going to have discussions about Game of the Year at IGN, and I'm going to bring that up because I'm really liking it so far. But other people might have a completely different experience than I did playing that game.
That's what I think is so cool about it.
Yeah.
So if we can get serious about this for a second.
No, let's not get serious.
Okay.
No, I'm fine.
Can we get physical?
Getting physical.
I think some of the choices that you make in games like Walking Dead end up being a little bit superficial because there's still a team making the game, and I have a choice. You're playing episode 3 right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't spoil it. You have a choice of leaving someone behind or taking someone with you.
Yeah, I just made that choice.
Okay, and I chose to take this character with me.
Me too, and she did not deserve that.
No, but then in the back of my head, I'm like, so. Yeah. I'm like, so other gamers have the choice of leaving this character behind. So in the back of my head, I'm like, now I know that she is never going to play a major part in the story again.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think everyone's game can be drastically different.
But they're not.
In episode 4, there is a choice you can make. And then, like, it totally determines whether or not... It totally determines how episode 5 is set up.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious. You know, maybe I shouldn't speak because I'm playing them on iPad, so I'm an episode behind everybody else. But... like this character, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna choose to take this character with me. And then in the next scene, she leaves. And I'm like, so either I left her behind or she leaves of her own accord. Like, the result is the same. Like, I'm curious about, I don't feel like people's games are that radically different. Like, I feel like we're in the infancy of letting gamers make choice and really sort of affect the future of a game's story. And they
sort
still
of,
need to
I
figure
mean,
out.
I would say that, like, an experience like Heavy Rain had drastically different
That's
endings
true.
For people. Like, there were very different paths that game took for many people. Like, you could end that game with all of your characters alive or all of them horribly dead.
That's a good point. And
very different reasons,
just dead,
too.
Horribly dead.
Horribly dead, yeah.
Or regular dead. They could die in any number of ways.
Like, for me, I think it was, like, the cop, like, at the end, he was like, oh, man, I'm fine. And then he started getting nosebleeds because he was, like, a drug addict and crazy. And then somebody else was at a book signing, and they're like, you lived, but someone wants to kill you now. And it's, like, no one else I knew had that ending. Other people were just like, oh, man, all my guys died. So... I mean, yeah, I totally agree. We're like in this era now where we're starting to experiment with these type of things in games, and I actually like it. You know, as much as I complained earlier, that it sort of tears me up, but I like that it's happening. I hope that it's something that happens for a while. It gets kind of weird when you get to be like, hey, we're like 4 games in. Did you play the last 3? Or you know, like if I wanted to start with Mass Effect 3 or something, and I hadn't played the last 2, then
yeah, they got to get better about people that come in late. Because I started playing Walking Dead on PC and I switched to iPad, and then when I played the new episode on iPad, it just made random choices for
me.
It's like, we're just going to make random choices for what you did in the past. I'm like, why? Why not let me
toggle? Want them to be like, so hypothetically, there's this girl and she shoots another girl point blank in the head. And seconds later, you're like, do you want to come with us?
Yeah, they should do that. I mean, they should say, these
are
the five.
I'm asking for a friend.
Like, these are the five choices that you made in episode one, and then let you toggle through them if you're going to start on a new platform, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird to boil the choices down like that in just like a, you know, a little drop-down menu.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
There's so much more weight when they're happening on the fly, and there's a timer going in, like, I got to make a decision right now.
I know.
Sure, but now, I mean, I'm stuck with Doug on iPad.
Yeah, like, well, Doug sucks.
I didn't save Doug.
Really?
Doug's great.
I didn't save Doug.
So I just wanted to say, though, the original question was, do we like... which
version do we like?
Oh, no, so, yeah, the original question is, do we like choice-making or stories that are set in stone?
Yeah, yes, a story that is told to us.
Yes, correct. And I think there are great aspects of both, and I actually really do appreciate player-driven decisions, player-driven story, I should say. I think there's always going to be like a real kind of purity and tradition to just a story being told.
Sure.
You are participating it, but you are not, you know, guiding its direction. And I think that's actually sometimes even more powerful because there's kind of an inevitability to it, especially like if you kind of know that you're barreling towards some terrible, terrible fate, but you can't really, you know, avoid it.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I think.
I don't know. I disagree with you and everything you said.
I think I do. I mean,
are.
I think.
All the choices you've made.
Everything you stand for.
If you want to have like a powerful story told to you or experience a powerful story, you can, you know, watch Breaking Bad or watch a movie or read a book. You know, games are the only medium that, you know, users have the ability to affect change on the world.
Sure.
And so I think that, you know, the future of video games and how that narrative is going to continue to stand out from like, you know, other forms of, you know, artistic expression or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, that's.
I wonder about that too.
I think so. I was complaining earlier about like the clunkiness, but I think that's because we're still kind of figuring it out and we're new at it. You know, and Heavy Rain and Mass Effect and these sort of games are definitely on the right track. I don't think we're all the way there yet. I think the future of games looks more like that than, you know, an Uncharted game where everyone experiences the exact same thing.
Yeah,
sure.
I just think that there will always be people. I hope that there are always people telling stories, and then there will. And sure,
no, let's be clear. It's not like Telltale isn't telling a story.
Yeah,
telling a story without the player affecting that story. Mm-hmm. But
so why is that beneficial to you?
It's beneficial to me because I think that. Well, first of all, you have to think about the fact that the moment you make a choice, the developer now has to take resources and create two almost entirely different games or like avenues. Of plot, and that just enhances cost. And I think that, so there's a cost, you know, but anyway, there's a cost to be considered there as well.
Sure.
But then, on the other hand, I think that it's just a story that is told very precisely by the writers and the developers has the advantage of being so laser-focused and so subtle and perfected, and they've thought everything through, and they've made sure that it reaches certain, you know, emotional highlights, and it has like its ups and downs, its peaks and its valleys, all these sorts of wonderful things. I think that will, until we get like super so good at interactive stories that a story can still have all the subtlety of a well-crafted non-interactive plot.
Sure.
But until then, I just think that stories will probably be better massaged when they're just, you know,
focusing on like one set of characters with one set of outcomes.
It doesn't even have to be one set of characters, just that, yes, the outcomes are always the same, and it can be fine-tuned.
I mean, I trust like a competent writing staff to come up with branching paths for certain characters. I mean, something like The Walking Dead, like it never really feels like, oh man, I made this decision and now I'm down like shitty writing road, you know, where all of a sudden like I don't, all the characters
of
are,
course.
But you know, they're also only dealing with like five or six characters and that things can possibly happen to.
And so. I don't mean to imply that like the Walking Dead staff or any video game developers that are choosing to do interactive stories aren't competent enough or they're not good writers to create a good story. What I'm saying is that there's also an advantage of when you have a defined plot, you also have the benefit and I think the really important emotional impact of having shared experiences.
Yeah.
So when you are reading a book and you get to a part and then, you know, you're friend, your lover, or like, you know, family member also is reading that book, you can share in that experience together. You know, it's like something that like resonates with multiple people.
Mm-hmm. It makes it harder to share games with, you know, friends. We all, like, half the fun of playing something or reading or watching something is coming into work the next day and talking about it with people that feel the same way as me. But like with Mass Effect, it's like, oh man, that part with Ashley, and they're like, what? Ashley died two games ago. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
surprise.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I'm glad TV doesn't do that, because I don't want to come into work and be like, oh man, my Walt died last night. Mine didn't. I got two more seasons, and I'm like, oh.
Sure, but I think I still go back to the difference that you are a part of the game. You're participatory in the experience. So if you're playing your Shepherd as an asshole, like, that needs to be a different experience than someone that's playing him as a saint. And so, yeah, this is definitely the way that video games are going. They're going to be more interactive. Clements, you touched on a great point earlier that it's really, really challenging from a development standpoint too. If you have a branching path, suddenly you're putting time and resources and money and manpower into a path that half of people are
we'll never even see. Exactly, that's the thing. You know?
And so that's what I was thinking. That's what I think about with Mass Effect, where the world just, the funnel just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like in the starting game, you know, you have whatever, a dozen choices, and then that branches into a dozen more paths and two, and a dozen more and three. And so three has, like, how many hours of voice acting does three have that, you know,
no one will ever hear?
That no one will ever hear, and, you know, 99% of people will never hear. In their copy of the game. Like, that can't continue indefinitely.
Some people argue for, like, replayability in situations like this, but, like, when I'm done with The Walking Dead, I'm done. Like, I want that experience to be that experience I had from start to finish, and I don't want to go back and, like, redo all my decisions and stuff like that.
That's,
like,
but that's why I actually think replayability as built into gameplay is a better way to design a game than it is to have branching storylines. This is just a personal opinion, like, for example, in Borderlands, like, the gameplay is what brings you back. The story doesn't change, but it's the fact that there's always a different gun, there's always a better gun, there's, you know, different classes you can play as, but, you know, it's just, like, the different ways to play, and again, like, as we were arguing, like, that's the reason games are special, is because you interact with them. If your interactions change, not necessarily the story that's being shown to you, but your actual influence on the game world.
I would definitely agree with that. I mean, I think if you're a really, really true expert storyteller, like a great, you know, craft of writing a story and dialogue, and that's your passion, then you're probably not making video games. You know, you're probably writing movie scripts or writing television scripts, because you can have that pinpoint level of control. Like, no one would write a movie script and be like, you know, and then the character got stuck in a room for an hour because they didn't know where to go. Yeah. Like, games will, you have a really, really hard time at telling a story in a game as well as, you know, you can in a movie, where you can control the angle, like, where you place the camera, how, you know, what the lighting is, that affects people's mood.
For sure.
You know,
we had a Borderlands feature that went up a few weeks ago that talked about the music in that game and how it's writing music for a video game is so much different, because it's like you have this crazy fast-paced music and then my character can just stop. Mm-hmm. And, like, stare at his watch and look at his inventory, and it's like, doing anything.
That calls upon developers to actually take things like that into account. And, like, it's true that you can have, you know, laser-focused accuracy when you're making a movie or writing a book, but, you know, if a developer thinks, like, maybe if a character slows down, let's slow the music down, or let's dim the lights or something, like, they still have that control. And I think it's a little... I think it's a little unfair to say that if you're a true genius of storytelling, you're probably not working in video games. Because people that are, people can choose, like, whatever avenue they want. Maybe they'll have less control over it, but that doesn't mean they're less talented.
I mean, in my experience, I love video games as the business I work in. I don't want to do anything else. I think telling a story through gameplay and that marriage of, you know, the player being a participant in the story is incredible. It's powerful. But... yeah, I mean, I think I also watch movies, I also experience TV shows, and I get different things out of them. And in my experience, the story in almost every game is, you know, it's kind of disposable.
Big game out this week is Medal of Honor Warfighter.
So, our boy Mitch, working on that as we speak. EA decided that, hey, there's a big day one patch that fixes the whole game, so we can't send it to you ahead of time, so you're going to have to just play it the day it's out, and that's why we don't have a review up. And the patch notes are about a mile long.
They are. Here's the patch notes.
Not kidding.
It's fixed.
Six trees died so that patch could live.
This is everything that's fixed on day one for Medal of Honor Warfighter.
So, video games.
Yeah, fixing stuff, multiplayer, single player, matchmaking, weapons, UI, navigation, user experience, visual polish, miscellaneous fixes.
How did it pass certification.
It's true, like, right? Like, it's crazy that things can get, like, what is the point of certification anymore?
Yeah,
like,
right?
I don't know. And the thing is, a lot of our viewers probably don't know, so the way certification works with Microsoft, and I believe Sony also, is the first one's free. They give you the first update
for free. Your certification
is free? No, the first one. No, and then after that, the publisher has to pay every time they want to push out a new update.
They're like drug pushers.
Pretty much.
They give you a little taste.
So,
I need to get a certification.
Ah, Starscream!
So they've burned their first one just to make their game work.
How is this their first one?
Well, this is the first patch.
Oh, the patch is free.
Yeah, first patch is free.
Gotcha, okay.
It seems like something like visual polish is something you maybe get ready a little earlier than
we know. One of the things on the patch notes I'd read ahead of time earlier was fixes controls that would sometimes get totally unresponsive. Like, that seems like it should be a little higher up the priority list than, oh, go ahead and ship it like that. It'll be fine.
R1 was accidentally resetting the game before that. That's ridiculous.
Jeff Gerstmann tweeted my favorite one over at Giant Bomb, and it was that voiceover IP for Team Chat had been fixed to no longer allow opponents into Team Chat.
Wait, I thought Team Chat implied that I'm talking to my team.
It was just a chat channel, I'm sorry.
So suddenly it turned into Splinter Cell Spies versus Mercs, where you could listen in on the other team, apparently.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, we've been skeptical about
Medal of Honor, people.
We've been skeptical about this Medal of Honor for a while, haven't we? Can we be honest?
Yeah, the whole franchise. We've been skeptical on the franchise.
I mean, their last reboot of it with the beards and stuff didn't go over super hot.
That was 2 years ago.
Warfighter. How about Bug Fighter?
Yeah, and then
Bug Fighter.
In this one,
really,
they did the classic one here. The game wasn't going to be given to us early. You know, you wouldn't have any time to do anything. And then people had seen it at events and weren't happy with it. And the fact that there's been no marketing for it, usually not a great sign.
Well, except for that Linkin Park video.
Of course, how can I forget Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
This is all EA has this holiday season. I guess this and Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Right.
Which comes out next week. I feel like they've got to have more. They always seem to have games. I mean, Madden and FIFA will certainly carry their fiscal quarter too. Yeah.
Their sports games had their best year ever, aside
except
from basketball.
For that's true. NBA Live. Yeah.
So that's that. That's holding them over. But I mean, this game, it just seems like a franchise they have continuously treated with utter disrespect.
Right.
Both towards the people reviewing it, the people buying it. Like, who is this for? Because they just shit these games out.
No,
they don't
seem to care about them. I actually really liked their last pre-reboot game, which was Airborne, where you were you played the Airborne infantryman and you parachute in.
Still a World War II game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was after World War II games were uncool, so a lot of people sort of wrote it off immediately as that. But it was actually a great hook and a great concept for the game, especially in multiplayer. You could just parachute in wherever, land on rooftops, land behind enemy lines, and risk getting shot down. And then it seems like now they're just trying to catch up to Call of Duty. Like, well, whatever they're doing, let's do it in slower motion and with more scripting. And, you know, it's like, well, I kind of liked, you know, even though Airborne wasn't it wasn't a 9. It was, you know, it was a good game, not a great, great game, but the idea was so much better than, at least they were doing their own original thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Warfighter just seems like a generic, you know, modern combat shooter game.
See, even in the title, Warfighter.
I know.
Like, okay. We just put words together out of ideas are we?
The fact that they had
I think
to.
We all know we're totally out of ideas.
The fact that they had to give Battlefield 4 beta access away with this game when Battlefield 4 hasn't even been announced yet is a little telling of how desperate they are to move copies of this.
I didn't realize they were doing that. Battlefield 4 beta access comes with
a game that doesn't exist yet, really. You can play the beta if you just buy this game this year, please.
So is this how they've been doing it? Is that why I'm confused? It's Battlefield Medal of Honor, Battlefield
Medal
of
Honor. Yeah, it's their Modern Warfare Black Ops.
Yep.
That's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see the reason why this exists when Black Ops is out in just a few weeks. I mean, who is the audience here that's like, I can't wait?
People get tricked. The parents are going to buy Black Ops. And
I don't know.
Parents shouldn't be buying shit for their kids, period.
Yeah, but they don't listen to you. They don't care.
Well, they should. Not like I should teach anyone how to be a parent.
I was going
to
say, really? Yeah, really? Brian Montano giving out his parental advice. I would subscribe to that YouTube channel.
Okay. Sure, let's make it happen.
We need to get a parental advice column on IGN.
Yeah. I mean, don't fucking do that. That'll be the name of it. But just wait till Black Ops if you want a game where you can shoot terrorists.
Yeah.
The point is, obviously, you know, it's not to... I don't think they're trying to fool anybody into buying it instead. It's just... people love Call of Duty so much, it's like, okay, if people are just hungry for this, let's just see if we can ride the coattails.
Yeah, for sure. So we didn't get review copies early, is that right?
No, we did not. That is correct.
Mitch is working on the review probably as we speak.
He is.
He expects to have it up this week, I believe, late this week.
He's been complaining to me a lot.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Are any reviews for this game out yet? Have you looked?
If somebody powered through it and stayed up all night and maybe. I don't know.
I haven't seen any, so I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking of updates, Resident Evil 6 has a big update incoming.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys remember Resident Evil 6?
I remember something about it.
I remember the demo from E3 that I thought was not good.
Yeah, it came out this month.
I know Resident Evil 4 is on sale on Xbox Live and PSN right now for $10, which is a far better Resident Evil game.
It is. Resident Evil 4 is very good. But yeah, Resident Evil 6 came out this month, earlier this month, and it's getting a patch, which apparently Capcom says is in response to some negative player feedback.
Is this the patch that makes the game fun?
Answer no. Us from GameScoop,
sorry about that.
Yeah.
Changes coming to Resident Evil 6 include you'll now be able to change your camera to allow for a greater field of view.
That's a very PC thing to do, a very PC gaming thing.
Except I think this is Resident Evil 6 even on PC?
No, usually first-person shooters on PC will give you those sorts of weird tweakable options, but consoles, you don't usually get that.
Ada Wong's campaign will be made available from the start, and they're adding a new No Hope difficulty, which is an extremely hard difficulty level.
That's what everybody's saying. The game's too easy. Bored out of my mind, it's so easy. Is this the end of Resident Evil? Is Resident Evil 6 the end for a while? You
think we'll see how it's going to be Resident Evil 7
right away?
The slate wipes clean next gen. They could even reboot it.
They don't even have to call it 7.
Yeah, it could just be Resident Evil.
Right? Operation Raccoon City sold a ton of copies. It had a huge marketing campaign.
Isn't it Capcom's biggest franchise?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I think it's got to be bigger than Street Fighter at this point, right?
But people still like Street Fighter, and they still make good Street Fighter games.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Yeah. I mean, that's a different argument we're having here. Whether or not these games are good is up for debate. You can go to Metacritic and find out that they're not. But I've had a copy of Resident Evil 6 for a month now. I have had no desire to open it or play it.
Likewise.
Yeah, I don't.
It's weird.
I can't get past that 6 logo that looks...
The giraffe.
Looks like a giraffe.
Looks like a woman blowing a giraffe.
Yeah.
It cannot be unseen.
Is that in the patch update? Did they fix that?
They fixed the logo.
Replaced it with a real 6.
Yeah, I loved the first 5 Resident Evil games. Not Resident Evil 5, I mean like 1 through 4 and Code Veronica. Excuse me?
I didn't know if you were counting Resident Evil 0 in that.
Oh, yeah, I guess 6, the first 6 games. 4, 5, and 6.
The first 6 games, but not 6.
But not
5.
6 or 5. Resident Evil. I even love the 3DS one, but I can't be with them anymore with these. They're just bad action games now. If you want to make an action game, there are plenty of great third-person action games. Like, I'll play Uncharted if I want to play a really good third-person action game. But why would I play Resident Evil 6?
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what's always turned me off about them is how they feel and how they control and how that world. And that's just not how I would want to exist in a zombie-infested world. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm a huge zombie fan. I try to consume all that media when whatever platform it comes to.
And survival horror is such a genre with not a lot of entries, let alone good ones, ripe for the taking. Embrace it, do it, and you probably have the whole market to yourself.
Sure.
There.
Yeah.
But they can go after the hardcore gaming action market.
So basically, all of gaming is Call of Duty's fault. That's what we're saying this week on this week's show.
You put those words out there, not me. We have the first trailer for Iron Man 3.
Yes, we do.
We all got a chance to see it.
Yep. Yes.
First of all, can we all admit that Iron Man 2 was really bad?
Yeah.
And can we also admit that The Avengers was Iron Man 3?
Pretty much.
That was predominantly an Iron Man movie. It ends with him being like, my house is messed up.
In the trailer, he's got the push broom.
Carol Burnett's out
there
with
him. We left today. We're going to keep that there.
In the trailer, he says something like, everything changed after New York.
Yeah, right?
So I assume he's referring to the end of...
Yeah, they fucked up his house.
Yeah.
He can't sleep anymore.
Wasn't Iron Man 2, didn't that whole big scene end in New York, too?
The big battle.
At the Stark Expo.
Yeah. No one cared about that. That's the end of it. Nobody cares about that. That doesn't matter. Going with Paltrow, walking up to a thing, beeping.
I'm going to explode on the phone.
Dumbass.
How are we feeling about Iron Man 3? The trailer looks kind of dark.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to do a Dark Knight thing. But the first Iron Man was pretty lighthearted, and like, it was fun, right?
And that was the problem I thought with 2, is that 2 was way too lighthearted.
Too lighthearted.
Tony Stark is an alcoholic. That's like one of his defining moments for that character in the comics. And here he's just like, oh, I'm drunk, and I'm throwing a party at my house.
I'm in the suit.
And now I'm going to get punched by Rhodey a bunch. And it's like, what? And like, this sucks. This is terrible. Like, what are you doing? So like, I don't want to see him go. I do not think they're going to go super Dark Knight and make it like really, really. I think there's going to be those moments he's going to be dealing with. It sounds like post-traumatic stress, right? That he can't sleep after New York or whatever, all this horrible stuff that's happened.
Why would that be so traumatic? They fought aliens and then they won.
All these horrible monsters came in. The city of New York's completely destroyed. You're just a dude in a suit. You could die at any time.
Maybe sell a suit and buy a house in the Caribbean somewhere.
Well, you know, he has to do that because we know his house gets destroyed, right?
Spoilers. Yeah.
Well, it's in the trailer.
I close my
eyes. He just listens to the trailer. His house slides into the ocean.
That's cool.
He gets pulled down into the ocean.
Yeah, and he gets
only in California.
Either way, you can't swim in that suit.
He can shoot. He can fly.
It looked like he was just sinking.
Well, yeah, he's getting pulled down. He's eventually going to go, oh, right, I have lasers on this dumb thing.
Or the movie just ends and he drowns.
Because Iron Man starts, or not Iron Man, Iron Man 3, also known as the Avengers, starts with him underwater doing his little...
That's true.
Welding.
I forgot that. You're an interesting case because you were not that hot on Avengers.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get who that movie is for, and that is
everyone.
Seven-year-olds.
It's for kids. Like, I don't care. The threat in that movie are these alien monsters that ride sky motorcycles, right?
It's for kids. Oh no, shit! The movie with all the bright colors and people dressed in tights beating the
shit
out of things.
They were the locusts from Gears of War.
Yes.
They were straight out of Gears of War.
I didn't care about Loki. I didn't care about all the characters on the sky bikes, and they're like, Hawkeye is a terrible character. Oh. Everyone's like.
I like Hawkeye.
They're like, we're going to go fly. You guys stay on the floor if you can't fly. And he's like, okay.
I think he's cool.
And he's
cool, but he's always, him and like Scarlett Johansson are always the characters that totally break the reality of it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, there are these horrible fucking creatures killing everything, and he is just like, Scarlett Johansson's like, oh, shooting and stabbing.
She's like jumping from bike to bike.
It's like, couldn't one of these creatures just go,
and then that's it.
You're telling me none of them have the skills.
Or somebody walks up to Hawkeye and he goes, give me that, and smacks the bone out of his hand.
Yeah.
Character's dead. Yeah. Rest in peace. What's he going to do?
It's for a guy that doesn't have superpowers. Doesn't he hold his own pretty well?
Well, yeah, but
because
that's
they
what
made
I'm
him
saying.
Do that. But
exactly, that's what I'm saying. Is yes, he holds his own, and that's where it gets all weird.
Yeah,
you can't have like the Incredible Hulk and then Jason Bourne next to him, and like, yeah, you know what I mean.
Why did they? I wonder why they felt like they needed to add Hawkeye.
They
put him in Thor, but like,
also at the end of that movie, he's going to be suing the NFL for his concussion damage because that's what you do when you get a concussion. You just sue the National Football League, like everybody else.
But I mean, like, you have the Hulk comes in and just like. Takes down like 80 dudes with like the flick of a finger, and Hawkeye's like.
It was one of those things like when like you watch when you watch Avengers the movie and like they all take off and do stuff. Everyone on the ground seems so impotent. Even Captain America is like just running around like.
They even say at some point they're like, "All right, you guys that can fly, go fly. We're gonna be on the floor." Why? Because you suck.
I'm gonna go tell a cop to set up a perimeter.
We'll be on crowd control down here.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, I'm excited.
It looked great. The trailer was, I guess I sort of had no expectation, but I came away like, wow, that actually looks like it's going to go to some cool places.
Interesting director. You guys are familiar with this director? Shane Black. He's the guy that, he wrote Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Wrote Monster Squad.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Monster Squad's awesome.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Let that resonate for just a moment.
He wrote Monster Squad and he's directing Iron Man 3?
Yes.
Wow.
So as far as directing goes, he is not too old for this shit then.
He actually wrote all the Lethal Weapons. And in between Lethal Weapons, he wrote stuff like Monster Squad, Last Action Hero, The Last Boy Scout.
I can't imagine him like being on set and people are like not listening to him. He's like, "Shut the fuck up! I directed Monster Squad." I'm like, all right.
He didn't direct it. He just wrote it.
Even better.
I think this is only his second directing gig. He directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which was kind of like Robert Downey Jr.'s like comeback movie, right?
Yeah, sort of.
So I thought that was interesting.
So do you think Downey handpicked when Favreau wasn't coming back?
I know just the guy. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. is
talking. He just slides over a VHS of Monster Squad and doesn't tell you all you need to know. We want to go to some
remember
dark...
that line, Wolfman has Nards?
I was just going to say.
We want to go to dark places. It doesn't get any darker than Count Dracula and the Mummy.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay. I mean, I don't know what to do with that information. Like, if I should be more excited or less excited. I think I'm just, like, happy to know that now.
It's good.
Speaking of happy, do you think Favreau's character, Happy, is now written out? Is he killed off for Iron Man 3?
No, he's in it. He's in it. He's in the credits.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. That'd be weird for him. He shows up on the set and he's like,
"Hey guys,
hey, I guess I'll just I'll be over here and anybody needs me." Do you think he's like trying to give tips to Shane?
Yeah, about, like he's the movie's creepy ex-boyfriend.
You really gonna put the camera there?
How about one for old time's sake?
Well,
guys, ready?
Swim in the suit.
Action! There, didn't that feel good?
I do not like the coloring of the suit so far. The Iron Man, the more gold Iron Man suit. I'm not a fan of what I've seen, and then like the War Machine Patriot outfit.
Is it War Machine or Iron Patriot?
I don't know.
Hey, what's going on,
by the
way?
I read DC Comics because DC Comics are good.
There's like 2 seconds in the trailer when he's getting anesthesia and clearly about to have surgery.
Yeah.
I wonder what the hell that's all about. He's already like all good to go.
Yeah.
I liked when the suit grabbed Gwyneth Paltrow when he was in bed and he was next to her.
Oh, yeah, is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming somebody's in the suit.
Yeah, somebody's kidnapping.
Yeah, yeah.
Kidnapping the Gwyneth.
Kidnapping the suit and then blowing up
Chris Martin's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
That guy's never pissed. He's always just really sad.
Apple?
Somebody should be pissed about that.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? I'm pissed about that, actually.
Now, Greg doesn't care about The Hobbit. Do you guys care about The Hobbit?
Nope.
Definitely.
Okay, you care about The Hobbit.
Let's go get some babes and boobs.
Haters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see today's news that the Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey, will be the shortest of all of the Middle
Earth
movies?
How long, do they say?
30 minutes.
It's still going to be 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Jesus.
So, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes?
But it's shorter than...
So an hour shorter than the other Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies, basically.
Shorter than Fellowship of the Ring.
So this is going to be another 9-hour tale of a dwarf walking around a mountain.
And it's going to be awesome.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, all that means is the extended cut is going to be 3.5 hours instead of 4 hours.
I know.
Which
I don't know. I can't muster a single fuck for those movies.
You didn't even like Lord of the Rings?
No. No.
Oh, do you like anything?
No.
I love many things.
Avengers, hate it. Hobbit,
cigarettes,
hate it.
New York pizza.
Love those things.
Resident Evil, hate it.
The new Resident Evil, yeah. I don't know.
You know what you're gonna love next week, or 2 weeks, whatever it is. Halo 4.
Okay.
It's coming out.
Oh no, are you a Halo fan?
Not really, but this one looks great.
Yeah.
This looks like
pretty.
We've been all kinds of new stuff on IGN this week. Gameplay trailer, the live action David Fincher produced thing, which looked cool. Yeah, gameplay trailer, map tours. The hype is reaching its zenith.
That one's coming out soon. Brian, you didn't like any of these movies. What's the best movie you've seen this year?
Jeez, what came out this year?
Right.
The Hulk Hogan sex tape.
What'd you say?
Paranormal Activity 4.
Didn't see that. Hulk Hogan sex tape. Yeah, that was great.
If you don't have an answer, I'll let you think about it. We don't have to have the...
I'll come back.
Winner of the Brian Altano Award for Cinematography. The
is
Hulk
nothing.
Hogan sex tape.
Everything sucks.
Fuck you, Hollywood.
Why are you excited for The Hobbit?
Well, I love Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read the book?
It's a fun book. It's a totally just fun book that I think will translate well in Peter Jackson's hands to the screen.
Because from what I've heard, what they're covering in this movie is basically nothing. Like, it's the part of the books where really nothing has happened yet. Since they're spreading it across 3 movies, this is just them being like, there's some guys with some beards, they all live in a tree.
I wonder if the first one...
They're making cookies, things get...
They like to sing and drink ale, it's a really disgusting sausage party.
The first one probably won't even get to Smaug, right? He won't even be in it, so...
Who's Smaug? Who's
the dragon.
Who is doing the voice? I know who Smaug is. Who's doing the voice of Smaug?
I have no clue.
There's a character named Smaug the Dragon, really? Did a 9-year-old write this movie?
Brian, come on.
I hope Randy Jackson does the voice.
Greg, what are you playing there?
Settings on the PlayStation Vita. I was trying to figure out why I had no signal. I am playing Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. I just got my code.
You're working on that review, but I'd like to know how you would review the settings of your Vita on the IGN scale.
Well, let's start with presentation. Can we bring the breakdown box back? It's hard to get around. You never know what you're getting into.
It's tough.
6.5 probably on the
customizable.
Mm. No, not the green settings. Once I'm inside the green settings.
Once you're in there, then it's at least four.
The weird text messages. I've blogged about this before. I get phantom texts because like my 3G card used to be assigned to a phone number. You have to have a phone number for the 3G. Mm-hmm. And so I just get random texts for this girl all the time.
Really?
On your Vita?
Yeah.
You should like text back. You're like, yo, girl, what's up?
Well, it's because I can't text from the Vita. You can only receive texts on the Vita.
What if people text her?
All sorts of stuff. I've blogged about it before. What we know about her is that, we know her name, Julie. Her name's Jewel. People call her Jules a lot in the texts. She's a flight attendant, I think. Because here's how it went, is that it started, I'll read through some of them for you.
This is incredibly fascinating.
It started off that
you're just playing a game, and you're just receiving text messages from this girl named Julie?
It's rare. It's more usually when I turn on the Vita, and I'll just be doing something
else. You're watching this woman's entire ghost life unfold on your Vita.
That's correct, yeah.
And she has no idea. Which might be the best or saddest thing I've ever heard.
It's one of those things that I'll see if I can dial. Oh, I can't dial.
This seems incredibly unsafe. Like, are people getting my texts and I don't know it? Like,
so anyways, it started that, you know, a lot of times, she, like, please call me when you're on the way to the airport. I landed, meet you by luggage. Aww. Call me.
And I waited for hours.
Then she started getting other stuff, like more stuff. I was like, oh, maybe she's going on a trip. Then it turned out, she kept getting messages about airports and stuff. I'm like, oh, she's a flight attendant. Then now this is the one that we got. This is the one we got that changed the whole flip the script. This is from
I'm screwing your brother.
May 26, 2012. Hi, Julie. This is Buster, brother Chuck. I have some Percocets, 15, I need to get rid of.
Whoa!
And, like, she's traveling so much because she's a drug mule. And like, that was the last time I've gotten the drug ones. Like,
that's very Jackie Brown.
Yeah, I get the one. What did you do over the weekend? Love, Mom. Don't forget to send a message to your two dads on Father's Day. Jerry did not.
There's
get
the real
car.
Root of the problem.
Tried to call you. Going to bed now. Love, Mom. Do you know if Arnie and Holly are okay? There are fires in Colorado Springs.
It's crazy.
We can track this down. If someone knows an Arnie and Holly in Colorado Springs.
Hey, girl. This is Amanda. Are you at Fish?
Like the band?
I guess. Yeah.
Is it spelled that way?
Did you bring your Percocets?
Got your message today to show 1419 Ashford Creek. Sorry, my tenant there is sick today. Can you show tomorrow afternoon? Thanks, Betty.
Okay, so now we have names, addresses.
If somebody
towns,
can piece all this together.
We've kind of honed in on this person now.
Oh, I'm spilling my coffee.
So wonderful to hear your voice. We'll call you back, but I know you're being an old lady, smiley face. Let's please chat ASAP. Love and miss you too. What I don't get about it is that she's calling people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Communicating to people, and they have to see a different number, mm-hmm. but then they're coming back and texting the old number.
These are drug addicts she's dealing with, Greg.
Well, there's true. That, and there's also the fact I'm assuming that she's getting these texts too. That's what I was assuming.
No way. You think we're doubling up on this phone?
That was my guess.
Huh. Yeah, that's how I would assume. But
I've texted that number before because I did an article about how Vitas have the number or whatever.
Hmm. Did you text it?
Mm-hmm. And I never got a text back like, hey, what are you talking about? This is Jules.
Next time, I ask for some perks.
I got some Percocets on my ass. What do you want me to do with them? All
right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hi, listeners. Beat you.
I know. I have coffee in my mouth. Well,
that's how a lot of people lose the race.
Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Just like
our good friend Sharia Dagra.
Sharia says what? Walking Dead. What?
What was the name again? Sharia Dagra.
Shaurya.
Sharia.
Sure.
Walking Dead the game so far has been great. How much pressure would the guys at Telltale be feeling to make Episode 5 memorable and finish the series on a high? Could a bad ending tarnish the whole series, kind of like Mass Effect 3?
Is everyone caught up? Have everybody played through 4 yet?
I haven't played through 4 yet.
We'll avoid spoilers for everybody out there. Give me a fist pound, Amy. best friends forever! They're under a lot of pressure, I think, but I don't think they're under pressure because they're putting themselves under pressure. They want to live up to fan expectations. I sincerely doubt it'll fall below. I doubt we're going to walk away disappointed.
Well, it's like any like TV show episodic series. You do want the finale to be great. Right?
Yeah.
And if the finale was a bummer, you would be let down.
It's like any video game, right? Like, this is a 10-hour campaign if you think about it that way when mm-hmm. it gets released on a disc. So it's like, it's weird that we get to be with them on this, you know, episode-like progression as we go.
I mean, I do wonder. I'm not expecting any sort of like actual resolution where it's like, oh, that's the end. Right. Like, I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I know I've heard I've had part of episode 4 spoiled for me, unfortunately. Okay. So I understand that there's things happening, but like these characters, I just don't think they want to like put a bow on it and be like the end.
Well, I mean,
like,
because there's going to be a season two.
Yeah, right. Walking Dead is. You know, I was going to say the whole thing about Walking Dead is that you know when Kirkman made it, he wanted a zombie movie that never ends.
Right.
So the game, I would assume, is the same way that there's never going to be an end. Like they're going to solve the zombie apocalypse.
I hope not. Yeah. There's no fun in
it. I mean, the big question is, will season two be characters we know? Will it pick up from where episode five kind of leaves you? Will the time have passed, or will it be a brand new group of survivors or something like that?
Maybe it'll be like The Wire.
I didn't watch that show, so I don't know.
That's a shame. You watched Nashville and you never saw The Wire.
Nashville, yes, I've watched 1 1/4 episode of Nashville and I enjoy them quite a bit.
You should watch.
What's
going
to happen?
What's going to happen in The Wire?
What?
Oh, you're just talking about
what's going to happen in Nashville?
Probably none of the same things are happening.
Is the one kid going to find out that it's the byproduct of the two stars getting together? And what do we think now that the old star and the old star are in love, but the old star's making love to that Hayden Panettiere now?
Anyway. A lot of us really like...
How do we get out of Nashville?
I know, yeah. A lot of us really like Walking Dead.
Yes.
It's conceivable. A lot of us may vote for it for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
But I do think that last episode has something to do with that, you know?
Like, sure.
If it goes up, you know, if it was great all this time and then the last episode sucks, I don't know that I would, you know, want to vote.
I think the last episode is going to be heartbreaking and devastating, and that's what we're all going to walk away going, man, this was like, this is, that was heavy, and we went somewhere with these characters that, you know, we weren't expecting to go maybe when you started. Because, like, I'll tell you what it is for me, right? Like, and this, I've talked about this in, I think, just about every one of my reviews since I review them for IGN, is that I love Clementine. But we've never had the option to tell Clementine we love her. Yeah. And so, like, that has to be coming in episode 5, and I'm sure it's going to be in some, like, she's in a garbage disposal or some horrible thing is happening, and then we get to say it.
Yeah. Yes, something really significant happens at the end of episode 4. Were you honest about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. You're. I see how you play in the real life.
Yeah. I often find that the decisions that we made were not popular. Like at the end when it shows you how everyone has it, it's like, oh, I'm a terrible person.
No, you know, I'm a good guy. I try.
There's some lies here and there.
Yeah. Like, my first playthrough of a Walking Dead game for review is always the one where I'm trying to be what I would do, what I really want to do. And so, like, the only real, like, questionable decision in 4 was I just didn't help that one person.
Yeah,
I was like, no, this is over. Sorry.
I know.
You go to hell.
Yeah. This is the snowman's nipples.
The snowman's nipples.
What would they be made out of?
You could put a Hershey Kiss out there. You could put...
Well, maybe like...
Hershey Kisses would be great.
What about... What's the Halloween candy?
Candy corn,
yeah. You can use
that. What about just like nipples. A baby bottle's... What about a baby bottle's rubber nipples?
Well, those are some big nipples, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew, or the snowman says... Asks, is it just me, or has the hype for God of War Ascension reached a franchise low? Is this an example of a series going for too long?
Yeah, it's totally at a franchise low. I wrote about it at E3 Snowman's Nipples in an article titled Get Over Yourself and Enjoy God of War, because it was one of those things, at the E3 presentation, we went into the whole, hey, let's talk about PlayStation Mobile, and let's talk about Wonder Book for way too long, and the way they came out of that was God of War.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a quick enough turnaround to get people excited for it, so when people sat down and talked about, hey, let's talk about the PlayStation press conference, yada yada, they totally overlooked God of War and jumped to The Last of Us. And when I watched God of War and got to play God of War, I was like, holy shit, this looks good. I described God of War 3 as visual porn a lot, and this looks so much better than that. Wait. But still God of War.
As opposed to like just erotica that you read, or
well, that's what I'm saying. It's visual porn. Like it's like if you're watching porn, you're out there for the erotica. You're out there for
nobody calls it that.
I know. I'm just saying. Porn. I think porn is visual porn.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is instead of you're not impressed by the sex act you're watching in God of War. You're impressed by the visuals.
I don't follow.
Moving on.
I've been talking about this for like 4 years. So thanks for listening, everybody. Assholes.
I did see that news story about how there's like. Skins from the movie 300.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a way, can you possibly make your game less relevant?
Yeah, that was a weird choice.
300?
I know.
That was like I like that movie. He didn't like that movie.
But it's old.
Like,
it's just very old.
It was like, a weird thing. It was a weird thing to announce the pre-order bonus that, hey, look at this thing that we have.
Yeah.
So I think it's a side effect of this generation being so old, right? I'm not much of a God of War guy, but I'm a big Gears of War game. And that's a very, very similar situation with Judgment. You know, it's they're not willing to give it a number. It's not God of War 4.
Yeah,
they're not willing
to
put a stake in the ground. And it's the same with Gears. And is God of War the same team?
Yeah, it's the same team.
So it's not the exact same situation.
I mean, their team evolves every time.
Yeah.
Like, they bring in new directors every time.
Sure,
so it's not like it's...
The fact that it's not a true sequel, not God of War 4, that's huge because the hype around Assassin's Creed 3 is really, really high. And
compared to Revelations. You know,
but there's been Revelations and Brotherhood that have come out.
A big part of it, too, for God of War was a really awkward first outing, right? Is that they came out and, like, it was Colin Goldfarb down there, and this got reflected in all the write-ups. Hey, everybody, God of War multiplayer. And everybody's
with,
like,
it was like 15 Kratoses fighting at the same time, right?
It wasn't that. No, that's not what it was.
It was at least 12.
At least 12 Kratoses fighting at the same time. God of War multiplayer, and then what they showed wasn't, like, super, you know, indicative of what the final product was to be. They weren't really... People walked away from this presentation a little bit baffled by it and what it was. And then it got put out there that, you know, it's multiplayer's the focus, multiplayer's the focus. And it was like, is there a single player? And they're like, yeah, there's this Kratos prequel, and it's somewhere here. And it was just a weird way to come out and do that.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's why. We're not close to it right now. We're in the, we're in the midst of all these big games coming out.
I don't think it's an example of the franchise going on too long. I mean, obviously, plenty of franchises go on longer and reinvent themselves. And so it's not that. It's just, it's kind of the time of year. It's, you know, putting multiplayer in a game that maybe, like, people are saying it's pretty fun, but on the surface of it, you're like, well, this game doesn't really make sense for multiplayer. Like, people need to see it for themselves to understand.
You need to get a beta out there.
It's got some hurdles to overcome, for sure.
Yeah. This is our listener and fan.
Our good friend, Darya Young.
Yeah. From Dublin.
He's Darthrakian or whatever.
From Dublin, Ireland. Hey guys, I've just started listening to The Scoop. Wanted to ask you, what do you think, or do you think, all Assassin's Creed fans will understand references to the American War of Independence in Assassin's Creed 3 if they're from another country?
My big the big turnoff for all the other Assassin's Creed was, I'm not Roman, I don't understand what this is.
I think it'll be fine. Ubisoft is a French company, and they have fans all over the world, and I'm sure they're being very mindful of it, not to play, you know, too much inside baseball with their with their game. They want people all over the world to buy their game. So
yeah, I mean, the history is always kind of a backdrop, right? So it'll be like, oh, Benedict Arnold, like, I don't know who that guy is, but, like, I, you know, obviously I went to school, I know American history, but I mean, it's been like 12 years since I studied any of like, really seriously. Like, I only have, like, a surface level memory of, like, what the heck even happened, you know, specifically beat by beat in the American Revolution. And anyway, like, I couldn't plotted any of it out on a timeline or anything like that. So I think it'll be fine. It's just an excuse to run around rooftops. Like,
we play games set in other time periods and settings and places we didn't go.
Yeah, and I mean, and I don't know that much about the, you know, Medici family or any of that in, like, ancient Rome, but, like, I know enough that, like, it provides me some context, and Leonardo da Vinci and blah blah blah. Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This is Rob C., the pretentious asshole.
Oh.
He lives in the UK.
We'll be the judges of that.
Did we call him that, you think?
Did we call him
that? Yeah, did we call him in a past episode?
Oh, maybe. That could be. The subject line is, just a bit of info on something strange Damon said a couple scoops back.
Uh-oh. Did you take a strange corner?
When you were talking about the small Japanese bars a couple weeks ago, you guys remember this?
Yes.
When you were talking about TGS and how you went, I watched this episode and you went to the house.
I said a Scottish guy and a British guy came in. He says, this is strange because it would be like saying a Californian and an American. Scottish people are British.
Oh.
So I apologize. That's my own ignorance there. But I would ask,
I did not know that.
How should I have characterized them? Because the accents are different.
Yeah. I don't know. I know it's kind of a pet peeve of some people that live in the UK that, you know, England and the United Kingdom and Scotland and Britain, like, these are all, like, kind of the same thing, but they're all different things. And some are areas within the country, and the country is really, like, three regions put together. And I know... You know, different people kind of want to make sure that people from other countries get it right.
Is it like, so would it be a Scottish guy and an English guy?
No, they're Scotland is part of England, so they're just both English guys.
It's like the difference between Mary Poppins and Scrooge McDuck.
So Great Britain and England are the same thing?
Yeah.
England, Great Britain is the country that combines England, Scotland, and, oh no, Ireland maybe? Like,
but
I
then
think,
what's the United Kingdom?
That is the United, that's not, I thought that's what you just
the
said.
The same thing?
That is the United Kingdom.
But he's Great Britain. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Would it be, was that the way around?
we're just demonstrating.
We have no idea.
This is the awesome part. I mean, like, our American public school system, I think, does put us at a distinct disadvantage about other cultures. Yeah. I've always thought that. So enjoy fucking the American Revolution, Assassin's Creed 3. Starring Toby Keith.
Well, two guys came into the bar. One of them had a British accent. One of them had a Scottish accent.
Sure, fair enough. I think that's okay. I think his point's fair, but obviously they talk different. They have, you know, different things are associated with them. Like, you know.
Oh, that's why he's a pretentious asshole.
Eating haggis and blah.
Well, Rob, see right back into us, because we're not going to talk to Keza ever. Just explain to us what you would have called it and what the breakdown is, because clearly we don't know.
Yeah. And the reason I know anything about this at all is because I saw actually a cool infographic that explains some of it. I'll try to dig that up.
I want to go to London.
Me too.
Let's go. London's okay. Let's go this weekend.
A fun city. Okay. You're just itching to go somewhere. You want to go to Vegas this morning?
I did. That's true.
Trying to get away from the wife.
This is Kevin Bahar. I want to know what you guys think of PlayStation All-Stars. I know Greg and Colin love it, but what about other people at IGN? And do you guys think this can sell equally as well as Uncharted or God of War?
I enjoy it. I want to say I love it yet. I haven't played a final build.
Okay.
I have played very little of All-Stars, to be fair. Literally a couple matches. I was not incredibly impressed with that initial, very first impression.
Ditto. I love the concept. I love Smash Brothers. I don't play a lot of serious fighting games, the ones that end up in tournaments and stuff like that. But I love Smash Brothers. It's lighthearted. It's fun. People at IGN love it. I'm looking forward to this. In terms of like having the same sort of back catalog of really cool, impressive characters, like I think it runs pretty thin by the time you get like seven
it's
or eight guys.
It's a distinct disadvantage. Yeah. You look at that. You're like,
I mean, there's the what's his name, the Japanese guy, the Japanese Toro. Cat with the, Toro. With the onions.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get there, like you're like, really? How out of
ideas?
Well,
he's big in Japan. Like, I mean, right, right, thing. Like, so he's a Japanese company.
Sure.
And that's to be fair. You know, Smash Brothers had Roy from Fire Emblem before those games were really coming out in America.
That's true. Well, there's a difference between a guy with a sword and a guy with a chive.
Well, that's cool, right? That they have different things or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm gonna wait until the final version's out. I don't really care about the beta and stuff like
that. That's a big part of it, the more I've played at events. Because when I first played, I was really lukewarm on it, too. And it's one of those things, once you get to play through everybody and you see how people feel different, and you actually have time to sit down and learn a little bit about what's happening, and you choose a character, hone in on it, that's when it all, I think, clicks into place of like, oh, okay, I can... It's not Smash Brothers in the way. I think Smash Brothers, you can jump in with anybody and be like, oh, okay, I get what's going on.
And kind of just mash around, knock somebody out of the ring, and you win. But this is different. It's sort of like a give-and-take kind of system, right?
Sure.
Where you can keep building up, or you can use your powers right there to kind of knock everybody out.
Right, and that's the thing, too, that the super system makes it not Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So people come in. It's one of those things, it's been interesting to watch, because I think for, the Podcast Beyond kids who get to play it all the time, we sit there and we're like, okay, Smash Brothers gets so disassociated with it because it isn't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then for people who are just starting to play it or just starting to see it, it's still that connotation of, oh, I'm just going to punch you off the level and then I'll be the end of the way. Why are you coming back? Why are you not
there? Yep.
You have to get used to the fact that these supers are the only way to KO people, and that's the way you win.
I think the actual stages look really fun.
Yeah.
They look really creative. Yeah, yeah. The Bioshock stage looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. I'm kind of worried about seeing how they're going to handle additional characters down the line.
Yeah.
In terms of balance issues and DLC, and they say hey, we're putting these guys out today. Like, that stuff always kind of worries me. I think a lot of that should be there from the beginning with a fighting game.
Sure.
But maybe they just won't. So, unless they've announced that they will. So, what do I know?
What, do DLC?
DLC characters?
Yeah. They'll do DLC.
They are?
I don't remember an article offhand, but I mean...
Because the way Nintendo does it, they don't do DLC, but
Nintendo doesn't understand the internet.
Of course. Of course. But they have characters in Smash Brothers that you unlock that are sort of like... He's a clone of Roy, or he's a clone of Link, or
usually a little faster, slower.
Yeah, yeah, they're slightly like altered versions. Yeah, but they have this very similar playstyle. So, and you unlock them after 20, 30 hours of playing the game or something. Yeah. So, it'd
remember
be cool
when
to
you
see
unlock
how they do
things
that.
Instead of just buying them as DLC?
Yeah, yeah, that
I
was
do
fun.
Kind of miss unlocking stuff.
I think in Smash Brothers for GameCube, you had to leave your system on for 24 hours with a match going, and they're like, "Here's Mew."
It was
thanks.
There are a lot of secrets in that game. You would get trophies for playing 100,000 matches and stuff. Like,
now are they doing a single player story campaign? Yep. Oh, they are.
Yeah, for every character.
Wow, I did not know that.
Do you remember the very, very first? That's the boss of the game.
I saw him in there, but I have no recollection of that guy.
So that's kind of cool. Nintendo does similar stuff with Smash Brothers, where you can go in and you see trophies of the toys they made in the 1800s and stuff like that. And you're like, what? Okay. It's a weird double sort of as a museum. So that's cool that Sony's doing that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
It's going to be interesting to play the final version, see how it all comes together. There's a lot of questions about it, but I'm still excited to sit down.
There's really good people working on that game.
Yeah, Superbot's awesome. They picked up Seth Killian. Does that mean for him to come in and oversee it all?
Yep.
One more email this week comes from Patrick Scott. I'm a 24-year-old male who has no qualms about expressing my Taylor Swift fandom.
Yeah!
I saw she has a new album on iTunes. I need to hear what Greg thinks before I make my move on this. I trust Greg implicitly.
I'm a big fan. More Taylor Swift. If you like Taylor Swift, why wouldn't you like this album? She's definitely moved away from even being loosely associated with country. That's where she got her start.
Yeah,
and everything.
She's just a pop star now.
Yeah, and that's fine. Don't get me wrong. I like that fine because, even the popular country is just pop music nowadays most of the time. But, there's, one where she has, a banjo in the background. It's pretty much the only thing where you're like, oh, yeah, she was country at one point, doesn't she? Before last GameScoop, I was talking to you about that. Mm-hmm. This one song The one that I really like.
You were going to play it. Had a bit of a dubstep feel.
Yeah, I've been singing it all day today, and now, of course, it escapes me. But anyways, that it has, like, yeah, a dubstep feel to it.
Who are the breakup? All the songs about this
I don't
time?
Know. I never go investigate those. I'm not a fan of knowing. I don't want to know, really.
You like them ambiguous breakups?
Yeah, then I just apply it to my life.
Give us a number. Review the new Taylor Swift on the IGN scale.
See, now I've only... Oof.
Not ready to...
Man, I'm not ready for a final verdict. Can I have a couple more days?
But you can give us... You can recommend he buy it, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure, okay. sure, yeah. Okay. I need to stew a bit more.
Go to IGN.com, read our review in progress.
Yes, the review in progress.
I think all the guys that the breakup songs are about, they should get together and release their own album.
Like a We Are the World?
Their own supergroup album.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Maybe it's your fault.
That's true. So she's gotten completely away from her country roots?
Yeah.
She's just not... Like sad and whimsical anymore?
Well, no, I mean, that's still there. The music doesn't sound country anymore. It's not, it doesn't have that, like, twang to it anymore.
No, because I get that a lot with, like, rappers where their first album's, like, really hungry and angry, and it's like, yeah, I was poor. The next one, they're rich, and they're like, I don't have any problems to rap about anymore.
It's about hot tubs and Escalade.
She's still singing all of a sudden, about the same kind of goofy stuff. She's got one song that they're going to get together and act like they're 22.
How old is she?
She's older than 22 now.
But is she like 24?
Yeah,
or
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, like those glory days of 2 years ago.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. Listeners, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Everybody have a great weekend. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.